Thank you.
That's your clicker.
My clicker?
Yeah.
Okay.
The right button.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, cool. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Am I good? Okay. It really is a pleasure to be here with all of you. And it's really a great privilege to get a chance to share with you out of God's Word today. I got to tell you, though, I was telling Joey just when you guys had your little break. I went up to Joey and I said, you guys love each other. You really do. And I got to tell you, it was very moving for me just to be able to be a part of that. I just keep that up. That was just really sweet and special. And you could tell the way you care for each other. You know, I was telling Joey over the past couple weeks, I've never really done anything like this before. A little bit about me. So as Joey said, I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I've lived in Toledo all my life. I really like Toledo. I think God has put us there on purpose. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is April. She too has been in Toledo all her life. We have three rowdy, rambunctious young sons, and we love the Lord, and we're really just trying to do our best to serve Him and to serve His church. And that's really the only introduction that I have. But yeah, I've never been able to do anything like this before. You know, go to a friend's church and get a chance to share. And I say that for a couple reasons. One, this is just a real special treat for me. And two, I want to set the bar really low for any sort of expectations you might have. I want to get that, you know, right out there at the outset. But I'm just really honored to be here. And a lot of that is because of Joey. I want to take a second and talk about Joey. He is a man that I've grown to know. I was going to ask you how long ago it was.
5 years.
What I remember is when we were in that one conference and we were leading that small group. Well, you were leading it. It was a little small group breakout session at one of the conferences. And I had heard of this guy, Joey, before. Many of you know Tom Kelby. Mm-hmm. And Tom had told me about this Joey guy. And he would say things like, oh, you like Joey, if you know Tommy, he's awesome, is what he'd say. He's awesome, and he's spot on. So Joey and I have developed what is, to me, a very special and dear friendship, one that I'm very grateful for. We talk on the phone. We don't live near each other, obviously, but we go on virtual double dates with our wives together. We play games. He's encouraged me in some really hard things, some hard times. He's called me on in the Word of God in love. And I bring this up really on purpose because I think it's really good and important to hear on occasion from someone on the outside, so to speak. You guys have a gifted, gracious, humble, God-fearing pastor.
Amen.
And that really is a gift. And I was really excited to get a chance to just share that with all of you. And it really even goes beyond Joey. He's got a really gifted, strong, talented, God-fearing wife.
Amen.
Who has been a tremendous blessing, I know, to my wife. Yes. Tremendous blessing to my wife and to me as well. And we're big Richoff fans, let's just put it that way. So I was really excited to share that with you. But with that said, would you pray with me as we just prepare to open the Word together? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is a great gift to us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would come now and help us humble our hearts as we give our attention to Your Word now. We pray that you would show us Jesus. And we pray that through him, would you work in us that which is pleasing to you. God, for your glory. Amen. This morning, I wanted to share something that is by no means anything new, or it's not a novel thought. It's just something that, to be honest, has just been kind of whirling around in my heart these days, and my prayer is that God will speak to us and to me. You know, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is in the book of John, chapter 17. If you guys have your Bible, So John 17, and I'm gonna survey a few other passages today, but we'll be really kind of rooted in John 17. This is often called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In fact, that's the heading of it in my Bible, is the high priestly prayer. For those that don't know, this is the prayer that Jesus gives just moments before he is about to be arrested and betrayed and crucified. Just in the chapters before this, he's in the upper room with his disciples, and he's really just kind of sharing his heart for them, and he's sharing just his last instructions. This is really intimate time. And now in this chapter, we see him really sharing his heart with his Father. It's really an incredible chapter, because I think we're given like a peek into the sacred dialogue between God the Son and God the Father. And it's really amazing. We're really given a peek into the heart and mind of our Lord. It's fascinating to me. And it really contains a whole lot more than we have time to cover. But I'd like to pick it up in John 17. We're going to we'll start in verse 14. And at this point, he's really praying for his disciples. So he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." That's so good, isn't it? Now again, there's a lot of places one could go in this passage. And I encourage you to do that. It's a lot of fun. I encourage you, if you have some time later today or so on, to check that out. I just really want to draw our attention to verses 20 to 23. Awesome. Thank you, Joey. Here we see Jesus praying. He says, I don't ask for these only, which these only would be his disciples, right? He says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's us. Which, side note, it is really awesome for me to know that Jesus is praying for me. He's praying for you. He's praying for us. And he prays that we may be one, just as you, Father, are in me. He prays, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So just this chunk right here I want to pay attention to. And the reason why this is on my heart, in case you all didn't know, it's been a rough year and a half or so. That's a newsflash. There's been a lot going on. Not only just the pain and the hurt and the loss from the pandemic, which is a real thing. But I was thinking about this. This is probably the most divisive time I've ever seen in my life. We live in a day of division, it seems. And I'm not even really talking about the fact that we've had to be, at times physically separated from each other, which is, I get that. That's a real thing that we've had to do. But really, I'm talking about it's a division of unity. There's no shortage, there's no shortage of things for us to be divided about, it seems. Whether it's been differing approaches to COVID and all that, or there was the lead up to the election, or there was the aftermath of the election, there's been the racial tension, which I don't need to talk to you guys about. There's gun control. I mean, I could just go on. There's just so many things. We just live in a really charged and divisive time. And when I think about it, it makes me sad. It makes me sad. But what makes me saddest is when I see this sort of thing, not only in the world, but in the church. And again, this is probably not news to y'all either. Over the past year, so it's been really hard, I think, for the church to be united among all this stuff. And I'm talking about the big church, but I'm just even talking like my local church that I come from. It's just been hard. All through Scripture, we see a God who has been about a people. He's been after a people. He desires to have a people of his very own, who will worship him and will reflect him into the world in his glory. You know, we see this from Genesis to Revelation, whether it was with Adam and Eve or with Noah, and then you had the line of Abraham. I mean, he has been after a people. And of course, we know that this quest is finally and fully accomplished in our Savior. And I bring all that up because, coming back to our passage in John 17, when I see what Jesus is praying here for his people, he's praying for something different than what we see. He's praying for a unified people. Three times here we see in this prayer, really four times if you look at the whole chapter, but three times just right here, he asked the Father that his followers would be one. We see it in 21, verse 21, 22. And then again in 23, he prays that they would be perfectly one. the unity of his church, it just seems this is a big deal to Jesus. And this oneness that he prays for, it seems to be a really strong and profound connection. You know, he prays that his church would be one in the same way that he, Jesus, you know, God the Son, is one with the Father, which is fascinating to me when you think about it. It's so close of a connection, so intimate. It really is beyond words. And as I think about it, I just was playing this out in my mind. That has to mean more than me just smiling and waving at my fellow churchgoer on Sunday, right? It's got to be more than that. It's got to be deeper than that and thicker than that. For those of us who put our faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us that we become a part of the people of God. And we have a deep connection. And that is so sweet. We are a body, after all. You know, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ and we are individually members of it. In Jesus, God has joined us together, and it's a sweet, deep connection. And going back to John 17, I think one could ask, you know, why is this such a big deal to him? Why do we see Jesus praying over and over and over for the unity and the oneness of his church? If you have your Bibles, we're looking here. You could see there's a couple "so that" phrases there that are really amazing. This is about something so much bigger, friends, than just us. Jesus prays that his followers would be one so that the world may believe. A little farther down, he says, so that the world may know. And you could, you know, believe or know what? Believe that God has sent his Son into the world. It's so that the lost and the unbelieving world may see and believe Jesus. There's this amazing thing that happens when God's people relate to each other, like what I saw this morning, in love and unity. And I don't mean that in the way that those are two words that I think sometimes need to be redeemed. I don't mean the way that the world would define love and unity, something that's conditional and fickle and shallow, but a biblical, unconditional, self-sacrificial, faithful love. And when God's people relate that way, the glory of Christ is on full display. And it's an out of this world kind of love and connection. And it's one that the world takes notice of. Just before this prayer, a few pages previous in your Bible, John chapter 13, Jesus talks to his disciples about this same sort of thing. He said, you know, John chapter 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this," he says, "by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There just seems to be a lot at stake in the way that we relate to each other. As Jesus has loved us, we are to love one another. And again, it's God kind of setting the tone for us and setting the example. Just like we read here, you know, in the same way that God is one in Himself, the Father and the Son, the Spirit, we are to be one. In the same way that God has loved us, we are to love one another. And you know, the way that that love can get expressed, it's not always going to look the same. Person to person and churches to churches, it might look different, but its roots are the same. Rooted in Jesus and empowered in us by His Spirit. And just to kind of press it out more, and it's not a surface level kind of love. This is a nitty gritty love, no matter what, even when we might not see eye to eye, kind of love. It's unselfish, unconditional, forgiving, personal, patient and humble. It's an others-centered and others-focused, radical kind of love. It's amazing. It's God's love. It's what we see in 1 Corinthians 13, and if, which we won't read, but if you go to a wedding anytime soon, you'll hear it. This is the love is patient, love is kind, you know, that kind of stuff. That is what this kind of love is. And when we love each other this way, all the people will know that we are His disciples. Again, the greater call is so that the world will see Jesus. This is what we see in Genesis. When God calls Abram, and He says that He would bless him and make him a great nation. And He says all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. It's about blessing us to then bless the nations. Anyway, so when I think about this stuff, this is just why I think it's what's really special and unique for us. This is so much bigger than us just getting along. There's a higher calling and a higher purpose that I think is really awesome that we get to be a part of. There's a passage in Romans 15. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but it just captures well, I think, this thought. Paul is praying for the church. And Paul writes in Romans 15, he prays, he says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore," he says, "welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you." It's in our harmony and our oneness that Jesus is seen. So, the question that I've been, you know, I told you this stuff's been kind of just whirling around in me, and the question that I've been asking myself is, how do I press into the, with everything going on, how do I press into this sort of unity and love? How is God wanting to stretch me and use me in all of this? And like I said, I think it can look differently from church to church and person to person. Just to be real, you know, back home, I'm a part of a small group of our church. There's about 10 of us or so. We meet weekly on Wednesdays, and we've been doing this for years now. We love each other. This past year, though, has been really hard. And it's not been easy. There's been a mixture of people with differing opinions and convictions and experiences. There's been a strain on our unity, but it's been really good for us. It's been really good for us. We've had to learn to forgive and to humble ourselves. We've had to read through and work through Can I share another passage with you guys? So if you could turn, so this is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. So we in one of our meetings, we kind of read this and walked through it together. So I'm just going to look at verses 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the rest of it's really good too. You could keep going. It's really good. But we've had to wrestle with this stuff. What does it mean to bear with one another? What does it mean to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit? Sometimes that takes hard work, and we've had to kind of press that out. You know, and then coming back to, you know, things we mentioned earlier, you know, how can we grow in our oneness, in our unity? We've had to talk, you know, how do we talk about each other? And I don't mean that necessarily always in a negative way, but like, how can we talk more highly of each other? And to speak honorably, to talk to each other and to get to know one another more. To pray for each other, just like the things that I saw this morning. And I know you do these Zoom prayer meetings. I think that is awesome. It's a way that you can take a step into growing in your love for each other and to connect with one another. Strengthen the unity of the church. I think it's very good, very cool. I'm really grateful to be reminded of this prayer of Jesus, and I'm really grateful to remember that he is still, the Bible tells us that he is still praying for us, interceding for us, interceding for his church. And I think he is still praying things like this, that we may be one as he is one, so that the world may know him. And I'm really grateful that God has given us something so much better than what this world has to offer. Man. You know, he has made a way to unity, and he has made a way to love him. First and foremost, made this unity with him, and he's made it for each other. He has called us into a fellowship, into a community. We were lost before, and now we are part of a people. We belong. That's a big, we belong. And not only that, he doesn't just leave us on our own device. He gives us his Spirit to work all this out. And all of this is in Christ and because of what Jesus has done. And I just get reminded, too, of the, just in wrapping up, you know, we live in a, Leanne, I so appreciated your prayer this morning about being aware of the city. You know, we live in a broken world with broken people. People who are longing for love, and they're longing for forgiveness and peoplehood. They're longing for a place to belong. And they need Jesus. And they need, coming back to all this, they need to see his hands and his feet, his body that we are, to see it in action, where they can see they love each other. Man. And they're drawn to that. And what's also really fun for me to consider is that, you know, he has chosen us ordinary folk like me and you, his church, his people. He's chosen to use us to display this to a watching world. That is such a privilege. You know, when I talk about this sort of stuff with my dad, who's a pastor and a good guy, he always puts things, when I talk about this sort of stuff with him, just responsibility and calling, and he'll say things to me like, "Phil, can you believe we get to do this sort of stuff? We get to do this." In his mercy, God has allowed us to partner with him in his mission to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And we do this by displaying his love in the way that we love one another as a unified people. So, for the sake of the lost, for the sake of Christ, and to the glory of God, we get to do this sort of stuff. Yeah. That's all I got. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you have done. You have gathered us. You have brought us to yourself. You have made us a people. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us as your church to grow in our love for you and to grow in our love for each other. I pray that you would strengthen the unity of the church. And I pray that in that, we would reflect you in your glory, in your love to this weary world. Mm-hmm. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use us for people to see Jesus and that his kingdom would grow and expand. And we look forward to that time when all of us who have put our faith in Christ as your people will worship you together. Help us, Lord. We need you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.